Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 236, part 1, Decisions. Today is Friday, March 2nd, 2012.
Today's message then is entitled, Decisions. I think we are in an age of decisions, aren't we? We look at our government and we see they're trying to decide what to do with themselves. There is a song like that, I'm undecided now, so what am I going to do? How many have heard that one? Nobody? How old am I? You've heard it, Sue. Come on, help me out. I'm undecided now, so what am I gonna do? Okay, thank you. So I rely on her because she used to sing all of these old standards. On ships, wasn't it? Go out on ships and sing and so on like that. But oh, what an age of decision we're in. Well, every day you have to make, you made a decision to come here today, do you know? Some are still home trying to make up their mind. Well, it's too late now. Well, you should have decided sooner. But also, following along with this decisions, we're in an age of opinions. By the thousands. Everyone seems to have an opinion. Well, why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? And have you ever thought of? You know when the opinionated people with opinions come to you? When you're undecided. Elijah asked the people this question, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18 and 21. And then, like now, he was saying, will you please make up your mind? Maybe you're in here today and you're having trouble making up your mind about something. Aren't we fickle at times? What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Back and forth and back and forth. Well, I don't know. I just can't make up my mind. Are you hearing this today? But he's saying, will you please make up your mind? Go one way or go the other. Did you ever meet someone and you start this thing back and forth and back and forth and finally you just decide to stop? Because you can't get by each other? But he seems to be saying, will you please do something? You are making me nervous. Doesn't that make you nervous, being around someone that cannot make up their mind? Cannot make a decision, cannot be decisive in any way. He seems to be saying, you're irritating me. It's like asking someone if they can come in to help. Well, maybe next Monday. No. Maybe the Monday after. He seems to be saying, stop walking down the middle of the road. Stop playing church. Stop two-facing. I had a message on peace not too long back, but see, if you have no peace, you have no power. You have no power to go ahead when you don't have any peace on a thing, and peace comes through a decision, even if it hurts. Maybe you're at a decision time in your life. Some decisions are a little heavier than others because they're followed by a lot of opinions. What do you think I should do? And then the person tells you what they think, and you don't want to do that. Or maybe you got a half a mind to do it this way and a half a mind to do it that way. And then you get half-minded people to come and give their opinions, and they really are half-minded. It's like being here. I mean, if you're not all here, if you're home someplace cooking or something like that while you're here, you're not all there. I believe then it was a day to be remembered. It said that the multitudes assembled at the foot of Mount Carmel. It was God's man, the Bible says, against 450 priests of the false god. Now, he'd been hiding out for 3.5 years. And the crows, the Bible said, fed him. And so today, let's divide these people into three groups. First, we have the devoted servant, Jehovah. One solitary prophet. Listen, preacher, if you're listening on the radio right now. Sometimes when you get into something, you have to stand, and you have to stand all alone against all of the opinions, and there is a lot of them, let me tell you. But then we have, on the other hand, the decided servants of the evil one. 450 prophets of Baal. Of course, we always have, firstly, the devoted servants to Jehovah. But I believe the vast majority, and I'm just ministering from what I know about people, I believe the vast majority gathered that day were undecided, because there were multitudes, it says. There was 450 prophets of Baal, but there were a lot of people watching. There's a lot of watchers. Whatever that you do in your life, you are being watched. Now, I'm not trying to make you paranoid. But if you're doing something that's interesting, that's controversial, you will be watched. Isn't there a song like that? The eyes of Texas are upon you, huh? Undecided. They didn't know what they wanted. Isn't that a problem in our life? We do not know what we want. I remember my first date. No, I had gone out with girls, but my first bona fide, put your suit on with your little zits on your face and little peach fuzz coming out, date. And the girl I went out with couldn't, she would just, I love you so. Well, I wasn't ready for that. But I noticed as we went out, it was sort of like a prom thing I got in on. That, everybody that came in the door, well, that looked good, and this one looked good, and that one looked good, and I thought, hey, what's going on here? It was my first lesson in people that are undecided. She couldn't make up her mind whether she liked me or the different ones that were coming in the door. That was kind of my first lesson in fickleness. She was undecided. Maybe you're listening on a radio and you have that same type of a problem. Well, I think there's a lot of people with that problem. They just get a roommate and then they switch roommates. I don't know. I seen a girl the other day. She'd probably make a better roommate than you. What a way to go, huh? Undecided. Well, shall we keep this baby? Or shall we kill it? People right now, while I'm speaking, are trying to make that decision. And then there's those that have done that, that they certainly need to know that they are fully pardoned, fully forgiven. But maybe you're trying to make that decision even now. Well, what am I going to do? I got this roommate that wants to move out. And I got this growth happening to me. What am I going to do? Will people accept me? Will they love me? What's going to happen? I gotta make a decision. And so the vast majority that gathered there that day were undecided people, because there's a lot of them, always will be. Should we follow Jehovah or should we follow Baal? They had a fear of Jehovah, but they had a greater interest in Baal, the god of Jezebel. And so many of them were secret and half-hearted followers of Jehovah. Nothing more dangerous than a person that's heifers. They only go halfway when they're thinking. And so they were half-hearted followers, in the woodwork followers of Jehovah. But publicly they worshipped Baal. And so the mass of them were one half-hearted followers. I think a half a heart is no heart at all. Would you like to have a half-hearted doctor work on you? Scalpel. Sutures. Half-hearted. I know. I just don't feel like cutting today, and the person's bleeding. On your own. I don't know. I'm not into it. You're into it. You better sew it up. Would you want a half-hearted mechanic working on your car? Well, I put spark plugs in on this side, but I don't know. It probably doesn't need it on the other side. Drive it, let me know what happens. Half-heartedness. You can't trust a half-hearted person. One day, you don't know which half they're going to follow. But anyway, we have people here that were halting between two opinions. So now I'm ministering to these three groups this very morning. You listening on the radio. And I hope there will be a very large number who are on Jehovah's side all the way, who fear God and serve Him. And also we have a number who are on the devil's side, who make no profession of Jesus Christ whatsoever. And they're all right, because they're ice cold. Jesus said, I would that you be red hot or ice cold, because if you're lukewarm, I don't know where you're at, I have to spew you out. So you have to explain yourself, because right away, well, these people were following the devil. They were, judge ye not the world, lest ye come under judgment yourself, for they're already under judgment. Don't judge the world. They're already under judgment. They're already suffering under the weight of sin. Don't judge the prostitute. She has a God's consciousness and she's suffering with it. But anyway, I think the very vast number of my listeners will be waverers. Isn't that a sort of a flimsy, that's the right word, isn't it? Waverers. because they're always wavering goodbye to you. Or wavering hello to you. Bible says, like empty clouds, they are driven hither and thither by the wind. They're sort of like painted flowers. Or a painting of fruit. They have a name to live and are dead. Procrastinators. Can't we all fall into that procrastination? You should write a song on that, Sue. Procrastination, huh? Don't we, though? We halt and we procrastinate. A lot of times when I don't want to do something, especially after the Lord has spoken to me to do it, and I want to put it off until another day, I say, no, you don't. You mean you talk to yourself? Well, a lot of times that's all I have. Well, do you always agree with yourself? Hardly ever. Double-minded men, uncommitted, let's say, shuffle-footed fence riders. Undecided people do sort of shuffle. Do you ever notice it? Oh, I don't know. And when you were a kid, could you make up your mind? Oh, I don't know. That's all kids can say. We get to be about 12, 13, 14. Will you do that? What do you think of that? I don't know. Why'd you do that? I don't know. My mother used to ask me that all the time. Why did you do that? I don't know. Oh, yes, you do. And you're going to sit in there until you do know. Now, you decide that in your mind right now. So that when my dad came home and asked me, why did you do that? I'd be decided. He'd come in and say, why did you do that? And I'd answer, after much thought, I don't know. Then my dad would get together with my mother and I could hear him out there. She'd ask him, what happened? He says, I don't know. You know what? That's where that kid gets all this. All of this undecision. See, my mother was really good at seeing all that. But a lot of times she was undecided too. How many in here are undecided about something right now today? I'm kind of undecided what I should do. Huh? What should I do? Well, at least you know you're not all alone, right? You can all say in unison, in chorus, I don't know. Are you hearing this message? Wavers. I think indecision is a terrible city to live in. It never sleeps. Can you sleep when you're undecided about something? You get up and the only decision you can make at 2 o'clock in the morning is go to the icebox. That's always an easy decision to make. Now, Not too long ago, I went out and I thought, all I got up here is some cornflakes and some milk. So I went to the store and I was hungry. Well, I don't know, it was 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. They stay open all night. So I bought ribs. I couldn't decide whether I liked them or not. Well, they're good, but these steaks look good. So I bought some steaks, some ribs, and some chicken. I got home, and I had cornflakes. But oh, what a terrible city it is to live in the city of indecision. People never sleep. They're busy biting their nails and scratching their heads, trying to make up their mind. Undecided people, how long halt ye between two opinions? Isn't that a terrible city to live in? Be like people at the cafe. I got this message from waiting tables. I started at about 10 years old. Became a professional waiter. A singing waiter. To sing along to the jukebox. Now I'm a singing preacher. I don't sing very well, but I sing anyway. But I got this message in looking at people. Mother says, now this is a person coming in. You see, they will not be able to make up their mind. She was a good reader of character. They won't be able to make up their mind. So just put their water down, give them the menu, and disappear. Then go over, she says, after about 7-8 minutes and tell them what they want. This is very good. Have this. Be decisive when you look right in their eyes and say, well, I'll tell you what's very good on here. And like it's a secret, see? I'll tell you what's very good on here. Oh, yeah, now you got their attention. This is really good. Ham, hocks, and cabbage. A lot of you people don't even know what that is. How many have had ham, hocks, and cabbage? Okay, there's a couple of you. Oh, here's a guy. Look, he's going to get sick. And really? You know what? I think I'll have that. They didn't think of it at all. And so I was up at the cafe the other day and I was watching someone and I'll have that. No. Scratch that. May after this, you hear this message, may you after this halt no longer. Be able to make a decision in your life. And say, no longer, Lord, do I halt. Here I am, send me. Person asked me not too long ago, they've asked me several times, I wonder why God used you. I said, well, it's a mystery. There's a lot of mysteries in the gospel. But you see, I think it was because I was available through a decision. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't used that qualify, but they just can't make up their minds. Here I am, Lord, send me. The Lord looks around. Oh, man. Well, there's nobody else, so I guess I'll have to send him. And my grace will be sufficient. I like this. This man is a problem child, and he knows it. And he knows that he's going to have to depend on me, and now I can work with him because my strength is made perfect in his weakness. I think it was it Friday night, I had a message on we owe. I am a debtor. I am obligated. And I said, the more you get into Jesus Christ, the more you move in the things of the Spirit, the more obligated you are. So someone with 10 talents says, I got 10 talents. And starts to boast about all the talents he has that God has given him. You only got one. Well, don't boast. And I'll tell you why. You're a bigger debtor. Now you owe God more. And you just go on owing God more and more and more and more and more until you give your life up. Bible says give your life to gain your life. And that's so hard to do, to give up our life to gain it. I mean totally give up our life, our personalities. Hi. Being seen. Leaving the evangelistic scene, the hyper-praise scene where everybody goes. Oh, everybody that was anybody was there. It was beautiful. Christians get into that. Everybody that was anybody. God is no respecter of persons. Guy out there in a gutter out there with vomit all over his front that cries out for Jesus holds the same rank as the top evangelist. Did you ever think about it that way? So if you have more talents, you owe God more. So number one, note the prophet insisted upon the distinction here which existed between the worship of Baal and the worship of Jehovah. Most of the people who were before him thought like this. And they thought, well, yes, that Jehovah was God, but Baal was God too. I mean, there's room for both, they thought. And so they worshiped both, and the prophet said, this is impossible. But they thought still, but we are of one opinion. We will build one house with two altars, one for Jehovah and one for Baal. Didn't that solve it? I am of one opinion. They are both God. That's my opinion. No, said Elijah. This is not one opinion, but two. This is not one persuasion, but two persuasions. Well, some of you listening will say probably something like this. Well, I do love God, but I also love the world. I'm worldly and I'm religious. I love the bar room and I love my friends in the bar room and I also love the prayer room. Light and dark won't mix. You remember the story of Mark Anthony? He had two lions that pulled his chariot. But we can't yoke the two together. We can't yoke the lion of the tribe of Judah and the lion from the pit. We can't be unequally yoked, the Bible says. Well, even in politics, you can't be a Republican and a Democrat. Isn't that so evident right now when our president is in a little bit of trouble? Well, what do you say a little bit? I say a little bit because it is a little bit. In the magnitude of things that happen every day? No, but you see, they have two opinions. The Democrats have one, the Republicans have another. And they can't mix. You'll end up being hated. You try to mix the two. No, if God be God, serve him. But go all the way. Don't go halfway. Serve him thoroughly, serve him obediently, and serve him joyfully. Now, that's something you can't do on your own. It's done by the grace of God. Did you ever try to be joyful? It's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Someone, you're feeling way down and you're feeling depressed, and someone comes up and says, "Be joyful!" They better run. They've opened themselves up to a knuckle sandwich. Be happy, huh? We do that to our kids all the time. What's the matter? Be happy, mommy's boy. Kid's going through some type of trauma. He's got sand in his hair and a cut on his arm. He doesn't want to hear that. Be happy, mama's boy, huh? What's he going to say? I don't want to. Isn't that what we say? Are you hearing this? How many are hearing this message? Sit down, honey. No, if God be God, serve Him thoroughly, truthfully, obediently, and joyfully. Give your life. I wondered about that when I got saved. It was give your life to gain your life. And I thought, oh, well, gee, give everything up? The Lord spoke to me. He says, well, your life is drinking. Your life is smoking. Your life is making money. And what is it made out of you? I thought, well, it's made me miserable. Here, take it. And if you're going to serve the world and the devil, then jump in with both feet and just have at it. Time they were having an argument about, should Christians drink wine? Did Jesus drink wine? Well, I said, if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. That's what the Word of God says. No greater love with a man than he would die for a friend. Give his life for a friend. If your life is drinking, you give that up for a friend, then you gain. But I think we shouldn't jump in the world's manure piles and then, you know, try to get involved in church things. You can smile all you want to. Your stink will find you out. In the end. You cannot serve two masters. God won't have you. See, Satan will take you on if you're only a halfer. Because he can manipulate you. A lot of businessmen that are listening to me right now are serving two gods, Mammon and God. Bankers with their high interest rates. Rich men with their high tax breaks. They're buying Lincolns and Cadillacs. And during an economic crisis. No, see, the more you have, Mr. Wealthy Pants, the more you have, the same as me, the more that I learn and the more that I move in God and the more that we have, the more we owe. And I talked to a guy and he says, yeah, but my broker is a Christian. Well, I said, what's that got to do with it? Well, Grandma and Grandpa get Medicare cuts and Minnie Gasco hikes her roulette wheel meter. And the property taxes raise and raise and raise and they're forced into a nursing home at $1,300 to $2,000 a month. And you go in some of them and they smell like one big bedpan all the way through that place. Say amen, somebody. Oh, gee, don't talk like that. Hey, tell the truth and the truth will set you free. That needs Mr. Clean to go in there and clean some of them places out. Tidy Bowl needs to go in there. Not all of them, but some of them. And for that $1,300 or $2,000 a month, you get very little care a lot of times. They don't even want to look at you. What is it, Emma? It looks just like these people are little teeny kids. And they're stuck in there and they lose their care. They're just blobs of flesh sitting there waiting to die. And it could be the best decor that ever could be. God, help me. Don't ever send me to one of them places. If I get in real bad shape, throw me up on top of a mountain and I'll just lay up on top there and die. I don't want to go. Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. But yeah, you see the people and they're all hung down. Maybe there's someone that can't decide whether they want to go see him or not. Oh, should he go see Mother? Oh, I don't know, the last time we were there, she was so depressed and mean with the kids. You remember 1976 when we were there? Yeah, think about that you owe. The world says, let's invest in the commodities. Let's invest in the phone company and the gas company and the electric company. Let's get into the loaning business. We're in an age of, we just can't make up our mind what we want to get into. Well, let's get into that. And then we can raise the prices and we can manipulate the market. I thought myself one time about people that come to church. This particular time I was thinking about women that come to church. And I thought, how many women come to church and are received right in and they're full of wrath? And they're full of bitterness and gossip and backbiting and a slave to mischief, a tattler and a slander and a busybody entering into other people's houses, the Bible says, and turning everything that faintly resembles any kind of comfort out of the minds of those whom she comes in contact with. Listen, lady, and maybe you're a church lady, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. You can't serve both. Sometimes the God that we serve, the other God, is ourselves. We idolize ourselves and we become a God. Beware of these busybody women. Some even now in this age claim to be prophets of God. I am a prophet of God. But what God do they serve? Did you know that we're in an age of that? Everybody is a self-appointed prophet. And all over, night after night, in assemblies, we're having self-appointed prophetesses and prophets prophesying over each other. They don't make any moves on their self because they can't decide, so they have to have some prophetesses or some prophet decide for them. Well, what do you think I should do? One guy called me and says, "See, would you pray about me getting a new car?" I said, "No, I'm too busy praying for one myself. Goodbye." I mean, these things are just so totally asinine, I don't believe it. Would you pray about whether we're supposed to move into this new house or not? And I said, "Well, I'm not going to, but just let me ask a question. How much is that house selling for?" "Well, $175,000, but it's a really nice place. My wife just loves it." "Yeah," well, I said, "you're not even working right now." "Yeah, well, we're by faith." And then We just want to confirm, we got a word the other night, we're going to move into a great, beautiful house. And we just want confirmation. I said, "Well, I won't give it to you." "I don't want to be instrumental in your suicide." There's so much unreality, I don't believe it. And it's so easy to be realistic and just get in your billfold and say, no. God, you fill this billfold up and give me a job that meets that house, and then I'll go get that house. No, we'd rather have someone, well, sit down there. How you feeling? Great. You're looking great. Okay, let's get on with the business at hand here. Well, what did God say? He said, don't be the one like in the boat, oh ye of little faith. Sail on out of here. And we're in an age of all of this nonsense. Oh, but the Bible says, despise not prophecy. Hey, it's all in. It's right here in the book of Revelation. All in. All prophecy is in. Someone prophesies, he'll come right out of this book. See, we can't make up our minds. So, what do you see? I want a man. It's easy to please people. It's easy to play the part of the charlatan and come up from a Florida writing books on how to be a Christian evangelist that floats up in the springtime and summertime and come up and tell people. There's going to be a tall, dark stranger coming into your life. Well, might be the bill collector, but I don't. Does he have a sort of a swooping mustache and grease down here? I mean, you just got to look at this thing and say, this is totally nonsense what people are hearing right now, because they cannot make up their mind to open the Bible and seek God and pray about it and say, Lord, if it's to be so, close every door or open every door. Whatever's going to be will be, but you open the doors up or close the doors and that'll be the answer. Give me an answer, yes or no, by opening or closing doors. And the person told me, well, that's not faith. What is the desire of your heart? And I said, well, who can know the heart? It's desperately wicked, and who can know it? Are you hearing this today? A lot of nonsense, and you listening on the radio. Now you turn me off, and now you turn me back on again, because you want to find out what it is. Call, and I'll give you a tape of this message. So you won't have to take notes and where you bust your lead and can't find a pencil and all. But I mean, if you profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ, then do it all the way and for His glory. Did you ever try to contain some glory for yourself so that you were all lit up? So that when you walk down the street, people would say, you know something? There's an aura around that person. A shining light. And people would just sort of turn and know that there was the presence of a spiritual presence in their being. Oh, did you feel that? Why, that was Sister So-and-so walking through with her flowing gowns. And so we do a lot of things for our own glory sometimes. Sometime back I ministered and I said, you know, people cannot contain glory. Huh? We love Randy Bebop. We love him. We love him. And a lot of them end up committing suicide or taking drugs. They can't. How would you like somebody outside your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, we praise you. We praise you. You'd get a shotgun out after a while. Stop praising me. We're not made for the praises of men. About the only thing praises will do for you is get you a big head. Great, huge head. That's why my head is so small. It's been struck with a pin more than once. How many are in this message today? Oh, God. See, we just got to get realistic in our preaching, don't we?